All right, so this morning, that's going to be our topic. So I'm not a teacher. Kathleen said last week she was a teacher, which she is. But this is the topic, this is the subject that the Lord laid on my heart, for us to go over this morning. Over the last, I'll say probably a year or so, the Lord's been stirring me on the subject of prayer, personally, right? What I need to be doing in my prayer life. And he's just kept reminding me of some of the things that that I need to be doing as it relates to prayer. And also reminding me of the importance of prayer in the Christian's life. And I love that we call the kids up this morning just to pray over these boxes, because, you know, when we do it in our own flesh, sometimes we do it in vain. So with that, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. So let's bow and pray along with me. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for everything that's taken place so far. And yeah, we do remember, Father, the broken body, the shed blood, and where we would be without that. And so, Father, we just bow down before you. We adore you. We praise you. And Lord, we thank you for this time. And we just pray that your words would be amplified, mine would be minimized. And Lord, that we'd be changed by your word through this message. We thank you, we praise you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last number of weeks, I've been highlighting some scripture, if you didn't notice, when I mentioned the prayer gathering. Right? The Lord just said, you know what, instead of just announcing that we're going to meet on Wednesdays, tie it into a portion of scripture that really amplifies prayer. And so I'm just going to go over the ones that I've done the last few weeks. This is in Psalms 145. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. And he will hear and help us if we worship him and serve him with a holy awe of him. And a few weeks ago, I said this one. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. And then last week I said this one. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And this one I just said, calling on the name of the Lord. So all these verses in part, they talk about the importance of prayer, right? And I was pondering that over the last week or so about talking to us about the importance of prayer. But I'm going to take a different route this morning and talk about some of the things that are required in our prayers for God to actually answer our prayers. So some of the elements that are needed in our prayers for him to actually hear and answer them. Now, as I was growing up, this was one of my favorite. Something keeps popping up there. Is that okay?
It doesn't do it there, but it
does. It says it here. Okay. So this verse, when I was growing up, was one of my favorites. Right? It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." And I would say this repeatedly over and over as a kid. Right? It talks about crying out to the Lord. Now, as a youngster, I am pretty sure that a lot of the stuff that I asked for, they weren't in this plan, right? But it does speak to a heart of crying out to the Lord. This morning, I'm gonna anchor us in a portion of scripture that's found in Luke, and that's where I'm gonna springboard and really kind of tear it apart and talk about prayer. And it's gonna be kind of small, Lucille. I know you said I gotta make it bigger, but if you have a Bible, it's in Luke 18. I told Michael to do it on more pages, but he squished on that one. I'm blaming Michael. I'm going to read it. So this is a portion of scripture where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he talks about prayer. So one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. So if you're taking notes, write that down. Always pray and never give up. Remember that this morning. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge." So you and I learn a lesson from this judge. "So you don't think that God will surely give justice to those, to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" Just a little aside here. God isn't looking down on us from heaven or looking at us, concerned about the kind of building that we've met in this morning. He's not concerned about the kind of music that we sung this morning. He's not concerned about what you were here this morning. He's concerned about one thing and one thing only, and that's faith, right? Do you have faith in him? Now, as you look at this portion of scripture, there's something that I love about this widow. She had a great characteristic that you and I need to try and emulate, and that's persistence. She was persistent with her prayers, or so her requests to this judge, right? And we could learn from that. How many of us here this morning have at least one item on your prayer list that hasn't yet been answered? At least one thing that you're praying for that hasn't yet been answered. Right? A lot of hands, right? You know, maybe it's a loved one that's not with the Lord. I know I have a lot of relatives that aren't walking with the Lord. I've been praying for them for years. Some friends of mine that, I've been praying for them for decades. Maybe it's a desire that the Lord planted in your heart many years to serve him or do something for him, and that seems to be waning, right? That goal or that passion isn't being fulfilled. Maybe it's a physical need that you have. Maybe it's mending a relationship, a broken or a fractured relationship. Maybe it's something else that you've had and you've been praying for it for such a long time, and maybe you're starting to lose hope. Right, but Sarah mentioned some of the promises. So I want to encourage you with a promise this morning that I think we could stand on. So if there's something that you have been praying for a long time and you're starting to lose hope, look at this verse. It's in Luke. "And I do tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you'll find, keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Isn't that a great promise? Do we believe that this morning? Right? We should be saying amen, right? That's a great promise for us to just keep on asking. Now, what I've noticed over the years is it's not so difficult to ask for something, but it's to continue to ask for something, right? It's pretty easy for somebody to ask for something and pray for something maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times. But to continue to pray for something, that's when it becomes a little bit more challenging, right? To pray for something in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of delay, in the midst of overwhelming discouragement, that really takes a strong man or woman of God, right? When you're facing those kinds of things and you're facing discouragement, to keep on praying, you really have to be grounded and rooted in the Lord. But that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples, right? He was saying, always pray and never give up, right? Just keep on praying. So have you ever wondered why God answers some prayers and he doesn't answer others? Right? Sometimes you pray for something and he answers it right away, like almost immediately. Other times you pray And it seems like it takes forever for that prayer to be answered. Right? Sometimes two people pray for the exact same thing. One person gets it, the other person doesn't. You ever wonder why that happens? Well, first of all, it's a mystery. And second of all, God's sovereign. And we're not going to figure out the sovereignty of God this morning, or maybe not ever in our lifetime. But like I said earlier, there are a few things that we can see from Scripture that need to be in our prayers if he's going to answer them. And the first one I'm going to talk about this morning is faith. Pastor Dave mentioned this last week, right? He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We can pray all night long for something, but if we don't have faith, our prayers aren't going anywhere, right? But here's the thing. Do you believe that if you have faith for something and an expectation for something, it moves the hand and the heart of God? Do you believe that? If we have faith for something and an expectation for something, it moves the hand and heart of God. Look at this verse. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, not Ord, Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. The underlying principle in this portion of Scripture is God does respond to the prayers of his people, right? Now, I could pray in faith and say this morning, Father, the only living risen God, the one and only, the Alpha and the Omega, I pray in faith that my brothers and sisters here in this building, by the time they get home, they'll have $1 million in their bank account. Right? In Jesus' name. Yeah, thanks to me, right? Now, do you think he's going to answer that prayer? He can. It can happen, right? We are not going to limit him. Absolutely, it can happen. But I don't know if he's going to do that, right? I don't know if he's going to do that, because look at this verse. You ask God for something, and you do not receive it, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own pleasures, right? So we need faith, absolutely. But we also need to pray according to God's will, right? So it's faith. And we need God's will, right? Look at this verse. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So faith, and we need God's will. So there's a few new people in the church here. And when I speak, I usually refer to people, either in my family or other people. So Robbie is our youngest son. You want to wave Robbie? And then right behind him, we got the curly haired guy. He's Michael. And then Kathleen, most of you know, because she leads with worship. So Robbie, as we refer to him, when he was growing up, he had a great quality, and he still has this quality. When he was growing up, whatever it is that was going on in his life, whether it was an exam, a musical, something in sports, whatever it was that was in his life, as his mom was driving him to that event or whatever it would be, he would say, Mom, can you pray? Right? It's a great quality to have, right? And so we affirmed them in that. Now, as we were discipling him, we also reminded him that God wasn't just an insurance policy. Right? We just don't call on him when we're in trouble. And he isn't a genie in a bottle so that we just throw up our wishes at him. God is looking for a relationship with us. He wants to commune with us, right? He wants us to be in fellowship with him. So we need faith, and we need to pray according to his will. But there's also this thing called God's timing, right? So faith, praying according to his will, and then there's God's timing. Sometimes I'm in a hurry, but I've noticed God isn't in a hurry, right? How many here have experienced that God's timing is different than our timing, right? God's timing is usually different than our timing. Now, the subject of having kids has been a frequent topic in our home lately. I know Kathy and I aren't, you know, going to try for our third. I mean, I don't think we are anyway. And the boys aren't thinking about that either. But Rachel is expecting, and so that's, you know, been a topic in our home. Caitlin and Luke, they've got two, and I predicted third is on its way, and they're going to be making their way back to Canada soon to have that baby delivered here. My nephew Justin, he's newly married, and he just can't wait to have kids. And I'm not talking out of school, because if he was here, he'd be telling you that. He just can't wait to have kids. For Kathy and I, we got married, and we wanted to have children. And we prayed in faith, and we believed that it was God's will. Right? It took 10 years before Michael came along. God's timing was different than our timing, right? At the beginning, a lot of us lifted our hands up for one item that still hasn't been answered in our prayers. And as we look at this widow in this portion of scripture, there are some things that we could learn from her as it relates to keep on praying for that specific item. Whatever it is that you've got on your prayer list that hasn't been answered, we can learn some things from this widow as it relates to those items. One of the things that I believe that this widow undoubtedly had in her request was passion, right? She was a lady of passion. And our prayers need to be passionate prayers, right? We should always pray with passion. Look at this verse. And God said to him, he's talking to Solomon, I've listened to and received all your prayers, your ever so passionate prayers. Right? We should be a people that pray with passion. In Hebrews, so let us come boldly to the throne of grace so that you may receive mercy and find grace for help in our time of need. See, boldly, it's in bold, by the way, right? Come there with passion. In James, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man accomplishes much, right? Another word for fervent is passion, passionate. I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. My dad, who's a prayer warrior, he's 96 years old now, but he's around 88 years old, and he was living at his home on 52 Red Oak. I went to visit him one afternoon, and he's laying on the couch, and as I walked in, he's kind of breathing heavy, he's sweating from his brow, and I'm thinking, Dad, is everything okay? Like, are you okay? He said, yes, and I just finished the time of prayer, right? He was praying with passion, he was praying with a sense of urgency, he was praying with fervency, right? So the question that I had for myself was, when was the last time that I left or you left a time when you were praying either for yourself or somebody else, physically exhausted, right? When was the last time you actually prayed and you were physically exhausted, right? Physically exhausted, but spiritually refreshed, right? Physically exhausted, but spiritually refreshed. I believe that we as Christians should be the most passionate people on the planet, right? Jesus was a person of passion, right? The church was birthed out of passion. Jesus himself is sometimes called a passion, right? So we should be a passionate people. I would say that if we are a Christian and we don't have passion, something has gone wrong. There's something that's amiss. A Christian without passion is like, you know, Marcus, I think he's downstairs now, he's there. So Marcus, that's Marcus at the back, he does our sound, he sings sometime. Marcus is a hunter, right? He'll hunt deer, elk, bear, anything that has four legs, right? A Christian without passion is like Marcus going out there hunting with a gun, but there's no bullets in his gun. Right? That doesn't work. A Christian without passion is like, yeah, that $1 million does end up in your bank account, but you go home and you know what? You don't have the PIN code for it. You can't access that bank account. Right? It's okay, but it's not what it's meant to be. We should be a people of passion, right? We should talk with passion, we should serve with passion, we should sing with passion, and we should pray with passion. Why? Because I'm saying it this morning? No, because of the one we serve. Not because of me, because of the one we serve. Look at this. It says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically, right? With some passion, with some zeal, with some energy, right? That's what we're supposed to be. Another one. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Enthusiastically. In our singing, right? Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully, joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Worship the Lord in all his splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. Pastor Dave and I, we took a trip. I think it was about 12 years ago now, Dave. Time's flying. We went to New York together, and we were there for a week. And there was a conference at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And their Tuesday night prayer meetings is one of their, it's, you know, I think Pastor Simba calls it the engine that moves that church. Anyway, we were there for their Tuesday night prayer meeting. And what they do there is they pair up a man with a man and a lady with a lady. And then there's the request that they're brought forward. And then everybody in the building starts praying, right, one at a time. Well, there was a rumble in that building. The building was trembling with prayer, right? Let all the earth tremble before him. Now, just a little bit of an aside. I've been to that prayer meeting before, and I went there. The prayer meetings are Tuesdays, like I said. The doors open at 5 o'clock, and the prayer meeting starts at 7, so I thought I'd get there early. I got there at 5. And there was a couple hundred people there, and when you walk in, there's things on the screen that says, please, no talking, be quiet, focus on prayer. People are here to prepare their hearts for prayer. And so I went in, I sat down quietly and started praying before the Lord. And then slowly the people started to trickle in, and by 7 o'clock, there's 4,000 people in that auditorium. It's jam-packed. And same thing. So they got to the prayer time, and the pastor said, okay, a man with a man, a woman with a woman. So there was a young guy to the left of me. I was probably 30 at this point. He was in his 20s. So we paired up. And then there was this request that they made. I can't remember exactly what it is. And this young man started to pray. And that's when I knew I was in trouble. He was praying from his heart. He was praying like the Holy Spirit was dwelling inside of him. I had my prayers already from up here, right? I was going to say a bunch of words, and as I sat there, the Lord convicted me, and I realized at that point in time that I was a spiritual peewee, and I need to get serious with the Lord. It was a scary moment for me, right, when he started to pray in that manner. So I've grown up in the church, and over the years, there's been many names and many descriptions of Christians. I've heard some people say, you know what, that's a critical Christian. Look at her, she's got that critical look on her face, she's a critical Christian. I've also heard somebody say, that's a condemning Christian, right? That man just is a condemning Christian. I've also heard they say, you know, look at that young person, that's a lazy Christian, right? There's many names that I've heard for Christians over the years as I've attended church. And brothers and sisters, we don't need any of those. Right? We don't need a condemning, we don't need a lazy, we don't need a critical. What we need is faith-filled, passionate Christians. Right? That's what the Bible is calling us to. This is what this widow had. She was full of faith, and she never took no for an answer. I started coming to this church 20 years ago, just when Michael was born. So Michael's 20 years now. And one of the pillars of this church was the prayer gathering, our Wednesday evening prayer gatherings. I keep mentioning that during our announcements. Now, to be honest with you, there were times when that pillar was pretty shaky, and I felt that the house was going to come tumbling down. Okay? There was times when Pastor Dave would come on a Wednesday for the prayer gathering for the men, and there was nobody here, zero, and he'd leave. I remember leading prayer meetings for a few weeks during the summer times, and I'd show up, and I'd sit in the back there, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, and then I'd go home. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and you're going, you know what, I'm just not feeling it, Ron. Prayer, I'm not feeling it. Right? I don't feel like praying. I definitely don't feel like coming to the Wednesday evening prayer gathering. That's the furthest thing from my mind. Well, there's good news. If you're a believer, you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Right? You got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. The Holy Spirit will stir you to pray. The Holy Spirit will stir you to feel things that you would not otherwise feel. The Holy Spirit will stir you to believe things that you would not otherwise believe. The Holy Spirit will stir you to see things that you would not otherwise see. And the Holy Spirit will stir you to pray like you've never prayed before. So I'm going to leave you with some homework. I'm not going to put up all the scriptures and all the things that the Holy Spirit can do for us. But what I'd encourage you to do is this afternoon or this week, just look up and meditate and study on the Bible verses that talk about the power that we have available to us through the Holy Spirit. It's really powerful, right? It's really powerful. We need to be removed of flesh, right? So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Right? Don't look at the things of this earth. Let them grow dim. But let the Holy Spirit fill you. Right? So that's the homework. I'm not going to give that to you today, but go and study the things that are available to the believer because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. Right? It's a really, really good study. Chew on it like Pastor Dave keeps reminding us. Meditate on what the Holy Spirit can do for us this week. Another interesting thing about this widow is that they said, the Bible says that she went to the courthouse. Now, in those days, the courthouse wasn't a structure, right? It was like a mobile tent that moved from place to place. And so it seems really crazy, right? How do you go to a place that moves? But she was persistent in finding out where this courthouse was so she could make her request known to the judge. And what that says to you and I, and one of the things that we need to emulate, is she was participating in her requests, right? She wasn't just throwing it up and I'm not going to go back tomorrow, right? Maybe for you and I, sometimes I find myself saying a prayer and then I sit on the couch and I just wait for God to do the heavy lifting, right? God calls us to participate in our prayers, right? Look at this verse. It says, we are laborers together with God. Other versions say that we're co-laborers with Christ. What does this mean? It means that we are working with God to determine the outcome of the thing that he's called us to do. Now, sometimes we pray and we say we want a miracle, but what we're really looking for is for God to wave his magic wand and answer that problem. Now, he doesn't have a magic wand, by the way, right? Maybe you have a financial situation that you're in, and you're saying, Jesus, help me with this financial situation. Fix my bank account. Fix my bank account. Fix my bank account. Maybe we should be praying, but also saying, do I need to be budgeting better? Participate in the request, right? Maybe we have a physical need that we're struggling with, right? There's something going on with us physically, and you say, Lord, I have this physical ailment. Fix my physical condition. Make me better. Make me better. Maybe we need to be praying that he helps us physically, but also, Lord, is there a way that I could take better care of my body? right? Participate in that request. Now, let's be clear. God's going to do things beyond what we, beyond our ability. But there is something powerful when we participate in the prayer that he's called us to do. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning as it relates to this widow and one of the qualities that we need to emulate, and it's probably the most difficult one for you and I, and it's this. The Bible says that this widow went to the judge day after day, right? Version says she went to him day after day after day. Now, we don't know how long she went to the judge. Was it days? Was it weeks? Was it months? But we know that she was very, very persistent with her request. And what that tells us is that she was a woman of perseverance. She persevered. My dad prayed for a mom and a son to be reconciled. And when that finally took place, he said to me, "Son, I was praying for that to happen for 7 years. Pastor Dave spoke to us a number of years ago about his uncle who was praying for somebody to be saved. And he prayed for that individual for decades before he finally saw that individual come to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to all have a spirit of perseverance in our prayers. Look at this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit again. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then in Romans, never be lacking in zeal, right? Being fervent again. But keep your spiritual fervor, be set on fire by the Spirit. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We need to ask the Lord to help us to keep on believing, right? Never give up. This widow had that quality, right? Day after day after day, she went to the judge. Look at this verse. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind." Are you facing a trial this morning? Is there something you're going through, right? Don't quit. Don't give up. Maybe it's a trial at work. Maybe it's a trial with a relationship. Maybe it's a trial with your spouse. Maybe it's a trial with your children. Don't give up. Don't quit. Why? Because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. Isn't that what you want? Right? Mature, complete, and not lacking anything. That's who we should be as believers, right? And so the trials that are coming our way, whatever it may be, whatever difficulty you're going through, consider it pure joy. I had a crazy thought this morning, right? There's stuff that I'm going through, and I thought, Lord, should I be praying? You know what? Just don't fix that thing, because you know what? I want it to last for a long time. I want this problem to just continue and continue and continue so I could just keep coming to you and asking you and begging you. It's a tough prayer, right? But he brought that thought to me, right? Rarely do I say, you know what, Lord, I just want this problem to continue. Because you know what? Because this problem just draws me to you. It makes me want to surrender to you. The testing of your faith will develop perseverance. Now, this widow had perseverance. And I think this is probably the most difficult thing for you and I. To have perseverance, we're going to need to have extreme patience, right? We live in a very fast-moving world. Technology is moving at a pace that we just can't keep up to it, right? I work in the aerospace industry, and I thought it was cool for us to make parts for airplanes or parts for jet engines, but that's child's play, really, right? There's this program right now called the Artemis Project. Are you guys aware of that? Artemis, right? Clinton showed a little missile the other day. Artemis is a NASA-led mission The ultimate goal is to have you and I living on the moon. That's the ultimate goal, right? Artemis 1 was, they launched a rocket up to space. It circled the moon. It was unmanned, uncrewed. Artemis 2 is going to go up very shortly, and one of our Canadian astronauts, Jeremy Hansen, is going to be on it. It's going to be manned or crewed, and it's going to circle the moon, right? Artemis 3 is going to be the first landing on the moon since Apollo. Artemis 4, they're going to have an international space station circling the moon. And then Artemis 5 and 6 and 7, they want you and I to go there and live on the moon, right? It's crazy. That's technology. It's moving at such a fast pace. I just looked it up last night. The average cell phone right now processes 11 trillion pieces of information in 1 second. 11 trillion in 1 second, right? I was in Utah the other day and I rented a vehicle. It was a Yukon. This thing had everything in it, right? It pretty much drove itself, right? I punched in the address of the hotel. It came up on the screen, right? You know, I thought it was cool to have a nav system. It was a heads-up display that was in the windshield, right? In the windshield, it did everything for us, right? It's technology, and it's moving at a pace that's unbelievable. And hey, technology is great, but one of the downsides to technology is this. If we aren't careful, it causes us to be impatient, right? Because everything is so quick, everything is so fast. And if we aren't really, really careful, that impatience can trickle into our spiritual lives, right? We could ask God for something, right? And if he doesn't answer in 10 seconds, we go, like, what's going on? Where is he, right? And sometimes we even get the craziest thought ever. We'll say, does God really exist? Right? Think about that. Right? So we have to be careful with technology, but we need to be patient, right? We need to have perseverance. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. You know, brothers and sisters, right now you could be in a situation and you're going, you know what, there's a brother, or there's a sister, or there's somebody and they're doing something wicked and it seems like they're succeeding, right? And you go, man, oh man, that's driving me crazy. This verse says, be patient before the Lord. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Don't lose hope. So if you are going through those kinds of situations this morning, I'm going to close with a little word of encouragement. It's a verse that we mentioned earlier. It's in Ephesians 3, right? It's a promise as well, right? So if you're struggling with something, you're feeling down about something, there's something on that prayer list that it doesn't seem like it's moving God, look at this verse. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Right, it's a great promise for us. So, in our prayers, the things that we need to have in our prayers, we need to pray with faith, right? It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Be persistent in our prayers. Keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. Pray according to his will. If we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Fall under God's timing. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. She had a child, by the way, right? Pray with passion. I've listened to and received all your prayers, your ever so passionate prayers. Participate in your prayers. We're co-laborers of Christ. And then, like we just talked about, perseverance. Praying always, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. So I'm just going to leave you with something to ponder. How is your prayer life? Right? Do you have a prayer life? I ask brothers when we meet, how's your time of prayer? And they'll say, well, I pray when I drive to work. I pray when I mow the lawn. And that's good, right? Because the Bible says pray without ceasing. But do you have a dedicated time where you set aside and you sit on a chair or your favorite whatever and you foster that relationship with Jesus Christ? You're praying to him. Prayer isn't like going to Costco or Walmart or Superstore and you go to that, customer service desk, right? You don't go there with your complaints and your requests. Yeah, you do. But if that's all it is, then you are treating them like an insurance policy, right? It's about fostering a relationship with him. Do you have time set aside where you're just one-on-one with Jesus Christ? When you look at your prayers, are they focused on you or are they focused on others? Right? Are you interceding for others in your prayer life? Or do you just talk about, I, here's what I need? Right? Are you an intercessor? I've given out, books to some of the guys over the years, right? I always talk about a praise book. Well, the Lord's impressed upon me, like I said, over the last year to have a prayer book, right? It's not one and done. When somebody comes to me with a request, I write it down so I can remember. And I look at this body and there's a lot of stuff that's gone over the years, right? And there's things in this building that haven't been answered yet, right? And we got to keep on praying, right? So if you've got a prayer book or a book, have you written in it? Do you have a list that you go through, right? So just some things to ponder, right? This portion of scripture and this widow, man, she has some fantastic qualities, right? And we could learn from her. And then these elements in prayer, they need to be in our prayer if they're going to be answered. And the homework really is the important part. We've got the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be a people that are surrendered to him, that are yielded to him, that are obedient to him. We can't be dabbling in the world and the things of the flesh if our prayers are going to reach heaven, right? Jesus Christ wants it all from us. He wants everything. He wants our heart. He wants us to be obedient to him. So study on the Holy Spirit this week, right? Make it your homework. And let's talk about it, right? Let's talk to each other about how he's doing these things in our lives, how he's moving us this way towards prayer and being holy. And that's all I have this morning, so I'll pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you reveal yourself to us through your word. And we thank you, Father, for this portion of scripture. We thank you for this widow and the lesson that Jesus Christ was bringing forth to his disciples. And I pray, Father, for myself and for my brothers and sisters that we would take this seriously. Father, help us to be a people that are committed to prayer. May we be passionate. And Father, may we never give up for the things that you call us to do. So we thank you, Father, for today. We praise you. Go before us now, this afternoon, and throughout this week. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.